You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So as you look outside this weekend, I can tell, right, it's beginning to look a lot like, Advent, right? It's beginning to look a lot like Advent. Advent is this season in this church where we wait. And we wait in two different ways. One way we wait is that we wait to celebrate Christmas. We wait for that celebration on December 25th. Where we get to celebrate that Jesus first, his first arrival, right? Where he advented, where he arrived on this earth. But we also wait, praying, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Right? We wait for that last arrival. That time when he will return to make all things new. And so we wait in this tension in life and also kind of in worship. We do that as well. Now, we don't feel it as much in the 10:30 service, but if you were at the 6 or the 8 o'clock service, we follow along with Divine Service 4 during this season we're using. And there's the invocation, and then there's the Kyrie, where we say, Lord, save me. And then usually right after the Kyrie in Divine Service 4 is the Gloria. Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. But during this season of Advent, we don't sing that Gloria. Because those words, glory to God in the highest, those are words that the angels sang to the shepherds on that first Advent. And so we set that aside and we feel this tension in a way in worship. But at the same time, I'm just going to be honest, we're going to sing some Christmas songs. We're going to sing some Christmas hymns at our 6 and our 8 o'clock service. We're going to sing some Christmas songs here at 10:30 because we live after the first arrival of Jesus. We know the story, and really the season of Christmas in my mind, and I didn't set up the tradition, the liturgical calendar, but in my mind the season of Christmas is way too short. There's like 40 some days of Lent. There's a month of Advent. How many days are in Christmas? You sing the song, right? How many gifts, right? There are 12 days of Christmas. That's way too short. So we're gonna sing some Christmas songs, but we're gonna feel a little bit of tension in that because, right, it's not December 25th. But your lives do that as well. How many of you will celebrate Christmas sometime before December 24th or 25th with different family, right? You'll go to maybe this set of parents and celebrate when you can on like December 13th or something. I don't know, right? But we hold that tension even in our lives while we get to celebrate the first arrival of Jesus, but we're also doing that waiting for his second arrival. We're filled with longing for that next time when he will return, but we long with hope and joy. And so that's why this year our focus for our Advent season is that we are between these two worlds. Between these two Advents, and as Jesus has already arrived to save, and yet he's coming again to finish his work. And so the question is, what does life look like between these two worlds? What do we do while we wait? And we're not the first people to ask that question. Right? Right after Jesus ascended into heaven, the people were asking the very same question. What do we do while we wait? The church in Corinth was asking that question, what do we do while we wait? And so Paul, as he writes to that church, he says to them, well, first I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. So while we're between these two Advents, the first thing we do is give thanks to God. Right, Paul gives thanks to God for the grace that God has given the people in the church of Corinth. Not for what they've earned, not for what they've done, but for the grace that was given to them through Jesus Christ. Right? And I echo that same thanksgiving today. Yes, I know the day of Thanksgiving is over. Right? And a lot of us, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving together, and then what happens the next day? Right? First, on Thursday, we give thanks to God for all of the gifts that He's provided, everything that we could need, and then on Friday, we rush out to go buy all the things that we don't have. Or we don't rush out, we pull out our phone and buy all the things that we don't have. Right? I remember growing up when the Omaha World Herald paper would come, whether it came on the day before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, and 2/3 of the paper were the sale ads. And that was the greatest thing. Like, I didn't spend any Thanksgiving giving thanks. I spent Thanksgiving circling all the things that I wanted my parents to go buy the next day, and I handed it to them. But Thanksgiving isn't just a one-day thing. And Thanksgiving isn't just for the food and the family that we get to gather around and eat with on one day. But Thanksgiving continues. We didn't take all this down yet. Thanksgiving continues as we give thanks to God for the gifts that He continues to give. And so I echo the thanksgiving that Paul has for the church in Corinth. And I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for the work that God has done in your life and the way that He uses you to continue to share the good news with others. I'm thankful that God has placed me here, and I'm thankful that He continues to confirm that placement here. Not many of you know this, because I haven't told many people this, but over this last year-ish, I was asked to be on a call list, and so I walked through the call process with a different congregation out in California, and it was an incredible congregation. And I kept telling them why I wasn't going to take a call, and they kept moving me along in their process, and then finally got to the point where they invited me out a month ago or 2 months ago to visit, and Stacy and I, we'd been talking and we'd been praying, and finally we just said, no, right? God has called us here, and this is where He continues to call us. And so I'm thankful for you, right? I'm thankful for this place where we get to do life together. And I'm thankful that God's grace is already at work in your midst. And as Paul starts with that thanksgiving, he continues, but we got to go back because Paul doesn't do us any favors. He never writes in like short sentences. He writes in really long sentences. So to start at the beginning of a sentence, I got to go back. All right, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Jesus Christ was confirmed among you. All right, so Paul starts it with thanksgiving for the grace that God has given to the people, and then he celebrates that testimony of grace was confirmed in these people. Now, I've used the word grace a lot today, and just so we're all on the same page, what I mean by that and what Paul means by that is grace is God giving you something that you don't deserve. We see that very clearly in the first Advent, right? You and I, we don't deserve that the God of all creation would send His Son off of His throne in heaven to be born a baby here on this earth. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that baby would live this perfect life that you and I are unable to live. We don't deserve that this perfect person, this perfect human, who is also divine, would then be put to death. And not just put to death, but put to death on a cross where God takes all of our sins and places it on Him. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that as Jesus took His last breath and then was placed in the tomb, that He took our sins with Him. We don't deserve that when Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, that He defeated sin, death, and the devil. He gave us forgiveness. Forgiveness that we don't earn, forgiveness that we don't work for, but forgiveness that is given as a free gift from God. We don't deserve any of that. That's what grace is. And our testimony, as we share that good news of Jesus with others, as they hear it and as the Spirit works in them to bring them to faith, that testimony that we just shared, that good news of Jesus, is confirmed. That it is true, that it has happened as the Holy Spirit works through that. The gospel becomes real to people. That's what it looks like when the church is reflecting the light of Jesus, that people see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven, that people see who Jesus really is when he sees you loving them, or when they see you loving them, that they know who God is through your love, through your care, through the Spirit working through you. And so Paul starts with thanksgiving, and then he gives thanks to God for the confirmation of that testimony. And so he goes from what we have, or what God has done in our lives, to then share what God will do, right? That our Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only does that grace, is that a free gift that gives us forgiveness of sins, but it also sustains us until that last day. Because I cannot hold myself up for all eternity. Right? You cannot hold yourself up forever. But Jesus does. Right? He can and he does. He holds us. He sustains us until that last day. And this is really what Advent is all about. This is the anchor of this Advent hope that we have, that while we are waiting and while we are longing for Jesus to even so come, we do that with hope and peace and joy and love, knowing that it's his grace that sustains us until that last day. And so then we get to the question that we asked at the very beginning that I've not yet answered. Well, now what? Right, what do we do as the church, as the people of God? What do we do while we wait? We look back at Bethlehem with gratitude for that first Advent. We look forward to that last day and the promises of the new creation. But what do we do between these two Advents? Well, Paul says, even as that testimony about Jesus was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while that grace gives us new life, while that grace sustains us until that last day, it also equips us for today. And it equips us for tomorrow. Paul says, you, the whole church, the whole body of Christ, are not lacking in any gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. While we wait, we see that God has given us all undeserved gifts to equip us to wait in this Advent tension. But as people, we don't wait passively. We don't wait sitting, looking up into the sky, hoping that Jesus comes back today. We wait with purpose. The Spirit has filled each one of us and fills his church, the body of Christ, with all of these gifts. Gifts to sustain us until that last day, but also gifts that build and grow his kingdom. And that's for every person. Right? That's for all of us. That's not just for me. It's not just for paid staff. It's not just for people who went to the right colleges or got the right degrees. Right? That is for each and every one of us. No one is left out of that. No one is unnecessary in the body of Christ. You are vitally important to the kingdom of God. A couple weeks ago, I was given a bunch of demographic studies from LCEF, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and they did this radius around Fremont area. And they asked a bunch of questions to all the people who were willing to answer the questions. And it's tons of fun data. If you ever want to nerd out on data, I've got plenty of it for you. Come find me. But again, they just asked tons of questions. And one group of people that they asked questions to were people who were considering leaving their religious community, meaning people who were considering leaving their church, whether it was like their local church or whether that was considering leaving the church completely. And they asked why. You know, what are the reasons that you're considering leaving your church? And they could pick multiple answers. But of people who were considering leaving their church, 93% of people said that one of the reasons they were considering leaving their church was because they felt like they were not able to participate in ways that made a difference. 93% of people who were considering leaving their church said that one of the reasons was because they felt like they didn't matter, or that what they did didn't matter. Right, that's why the work that the Seeds of Blessings is doing, this little pamphlet, this time and talent survey that's got the QR code that I didn't put up there, but I should have, but also they've got the pamphlets that you can fill out. There's more of those back at the usher stand. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to see, what are the gifts that the Spirit has given you, because he's given each one of you different ones. And then how can those gifts be used to make a difference? Right, because each one of you matters. Let me just give you one example, because right, you don't have to do that survey to figure that out, but it's helpful. But let me just give you one example. Some of you, many of you in this service especially, know Tara Roberts. Right, Tara Roberts, 8.5 years ago, came to Trinity as a teacher, the same time I came as a pastor. And so we came into Trinity together, and we've worked together for a number of years. And she was a teacher here for 7 years. And then there was a time where she realized that this was a time to go do something different, that God was calling her to go do something different. And so she went and did something different. Now, typically, when you're in a ministry, and this is not just Trinity, but any, if you're in a ministry and you step out of that specific ministry role, you fade away from that ministry completely, right? Because that purpose that you had in that ministry is not there anymore, and so it's really easy to just fade away. But Tara, in that different stage of life, a different chapter in life, found that her unique gifts could be used in a very different way. At Trinity, we've been trying for many years to figure out how we could share the good things that were happening in our school, in our early childhood center, in the congregation, with those different ministries. Right, how we could share with each other all the good things that were happening, because you can't be in the school every day or in the early childhood center every day, and they can't be here every day. So how can we share those good things that were happening? Well, enter Tara. Right? All those videos that you see at the beginning of worship that are celebrating the ways that God is doing great things through you and through the church and the school and the early childhood center, she does all of that. She just takes care of it because she wants you to know what's going on. And she wasn't able to do that while she was in her other role. But she's able to do that now because of the gifts, the unique gifts that God has given her. And that's not just Tara who's doing that. That's one example. I love sitting with my family up in the front row, but right now two of them aren't sitting with us. Right, because they're back in the tech booth helping worship move forward. Right, there are others around who are helping you grow in the faith. Some more in the background, like those who set up communion today. You didn't get to see them. They don't come to this service. Right? They go to 8 o'clock, but they make sure that you're taken care of for worship today so that you can have the body and blood of Jesus. Each and every one of those gifts is absolutely necessary for this kingdom. You are absolutely necessary for the growth of this kingdom. When one person steps into their calling, the whole body of Christ is strengthened. The whole body of Christ grows because the kingdom moves forward. The light of Jesus shines brighter in that. Right, and again, that's not just paid staff. It's not just a few people, but it's all of us who are waiting for the second advent of Jesus. And as we wait, we do not wait passively, but we wait equipped by the grace of the Spirit. At the beginning of worship, we said together that at Trinity we learn, love, and lead to reflect the light of Jesus. Right? That's not just what we say. It's not even just who we are, but it's what we do. It's what we're called to do, right? This is our calling. It's what the Spirit has equipped us to do. And so between two Advents, we step into the gifts that the Spirit has already given. We shine the light of Jesus into a world that is drawing closer and closer to His second Advent every day, even when they don't know it. And so at Trinity, we learn love and lead to reflect the light of Jesus. At Trinity, we are equipped to strengthen and to grow His kingdom through the work of the Spirit while we wait for Him to do what He has promised to do, to return and make all things new. And so then we go. As the sign out in the parking lot says, as you drive out, we go into the mission field to share the light of Jesus so that the church might be strengthened, but more importantly, that the church might grow as more and more people become prepared and equipped for that last day when Jesus will return. Amen? Amen. Amen.